Take your Bibles, if you would, please, this evening. And would you open up to Galatians chapter number 4 in the Word of God tonight? Galatians chapter number 4 in the Word of God this evening. Pastor Dan said just a moment ago, and I just want to kind of reiterate what he was saying. We do praise the Lord for the incredible services that we've had over the last several weeks. Boy, God is meeting with us in just such a great way. And I wasn't able to say this morning, but it's good to have some visitors here in the auditorium tonight. And we had a lot of guests this morning, folks that invited out, and some that were looking for a church. And we just praise the Lord, some great excitement that is moving there. But it is good to have Matt and Molly Myers who are here with us tonight. If you have not had an opportunity to meet them, please be sure to get by and shake their hand. This is the daughter and son-in-law of Jim and Jen Milliken, and they're down in the Pensacola area, and they've gotten right with God, and they are moving back to Indianapolis, amen, and they're looking for a good church, so you make sure to shake their hand, and we're so excited over the next several weeks to watch what God does in their life. They're going to be joining us here, and we're just excited about this young couple and their kids. And if you haven't had an opportunity to meet their kids, well, they are just beautiful, and boy, you'll really love getting to know them. It's also wonderful to have the Palencia family here tonight. This is Roberto's brother is here, Jose and his wife, and good to have y'all visiting from Oklahoma. And you say, Pastor, are they looking at moving? And well, if Roberto has anything to do with it, oh, we might be fishing them in as well. And he is a music pastor there at their church. And if you've never heard him sing, boy, he's just an incredible voice. And we praise the Lord for their family being here. And then also, I saw him just a moment ago, Dr. Lester is here this evening. And Dr. Lester was a professor for many, many years at West Coast Baptist College. And even when I was doing my master's, sat underneath him. And we were able to work together for several years. And he is with Veritas College now and just doing an incredible work. And they're on their way south. And he preaches in different churches and gets in just an incredible mind for the Lord. And I will say this, Dr. Lester, just if you were not here, this man, Kerry will tell you, had a large impact on my life. Many, many hours spent in his office, and he has just a mind that is just so incredible and so balanced. And not only that, he's got a heart for the Lord. And there's even those in this very room, Jeff and Katie and Roberto and others of us that sat underneath him. And so, Dr. Lester, good to have you in here tonight. And if you have not had an opportunity, let's get by and shake their hands and get to know them. But how many by an amen would just say this? God is good. Would you say amen tonight? I think we can all agree tonight. This morning's message, I told Terry, felt like it was kind of getting dark, but I felt like it was something that, man, as we head into the life of Esther, just verse by verse, boy, you just can't help but get into those passages of Scripture that seems dark, but I am so thankful that we have a Savior that helps us through. And I keep looking around. I'm sorry, there's a lot of people who have moved around in the auditorium. I was looking for Laura. Is Laura in here tonight? I don't think she might be, but Laura's here. Laura, good to see you. You're moving back already. And that is not a good thing. Just like every other stinking Baptist in the world, and they keep moving back, moving back, moving back. But Laura's here tonight. And once you get by and shake Laura's hand, after Wednesday night, after the service, we've been going verse by verse through 1 Thessalonians. And Laura asked if she could talk. So Kerry and I went in the back office with Laura. And Laura grew up very religious, but she began to share her heart, and her words were, I want to know the Jesus that you know. And Kerry walked her through the Word of God, and Laura came to know Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And boy, that excites us, amen. And on a Wednesday night, what? That can't happen. People don't get saved on a Wednesday night. I beg to differ. Laura just got saved, and I'm telling you, God is at work here. I can't wait to see Laura baptized. And you be sure to get by tonight and just welcome Laura to the church family and to the family of God. And boy, I just get so excited. All of these people went in first place for choir and this and that. Gavin won first place for preaching. Austin, I think I've heard, was third place. And I'm just telling you, it's because they got a good preacher, you know what I'm saying? But no, I had nothing to do with it, nothing to do with it. But boy, I'm telling you, young people, great job tonight. And why don't we jump in the Word of God, Galatians chapter number 4. I'll have you stand in just a moment. But for those of you who are visiting with us, We've been in a series now, but kind of going through the context here, a six-part series on investment. And we'll begin to look at investing in the next generation, the generation that's coming up behind us, giving back our kids. And man, we had 70 or so kids across this platform. And boy, we're just beginning to see how important it is, vital it is, that you and I remain faithful. And then we begin to look at investing in our own lives, giving our talents. We know that the time is coming very near. Well, we're going to hear the trumpet sound. Just like that, we're up and we are out of here. And how vitally important it is to give our life. And then we begin to look at the principle of finances, the principle of tithing. And not just the, well, you better tithe because if you don't, God's going to come down upon you. But no, the blessing of giving and the principles that have been set up for us throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament of just cheerfully giving to God what is already His and then watching the blessings that God bestows upon our life. But then to accomplish all of these things, we begin to dig in. How do we do it? We hear of all these things, but in the Christian life, it seems good and well, amen. But when we get out into the real world, it's not as easy as we think. So how do we accomplish these things? Well, we do it by faith. And stepping out by faith as individuals and as families and that walk that we ought to have in God of investing by faith. But then last week we began to look at that faith, okay, great and good. And again, we might amen to it, but there's something that stops us then from stepping out by faith. And that main subject that we looked at last week was fear. And fear, the fear of failure, the fear of rejection that we may have in our life. And even as at Cross Point Baptist, you and I will feel that at times that we want to step out by faith, but what's that going to look at it? And if we step out by faith, and if we fail, then what happens then? But you and I looking at, we don't want those what if moments. You and I want to continue living for God. And there are going to be those times that we fail. There are going to be those times that, man, we're going to be rejected. And there are going to be those times that we try to get the gospel out. And yet it doesn't seem like we are very successful. And so how do we overcome that? We overcome it through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so let's continue that thought tonight. Looking at Galatians chapter 4, continuing here, let's stand for the reading of God's word tonight. Galatians chapter number 4. And I just want to thank all the ladies who went to the ladies' conference. And I didn't hear a whole lot about it, but Carrie did say that there were some ladies that were making fun of their pastor for making you stand too long for the reading of God's word. And so tonight, I'm going to make sure you stand a long time, woman. Whoever you are, you better bite your tongue because I'm just here to tell your pastor will find out. Just kidding. I think I'll have a great time. And maybe next year, those who couldn't get involved next year. But praise the Lord, you had a safe trip down. And I hope the Lord worked on your heart. Amen, men. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. Okay, Galatians 4. Let's look at verse number 4, if you would, with me. Galatians 4. Look at verse number 4. The Bible says this. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Now watch very carefully. The fullness of the time. Remember now, the world was morally and spiritually bankrupt. It was ripe for the coming of Christ. Verse number 5. To redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now comprehend, watch this, and we'll move really quick. This is something that a millennium and a half of the law could not do for the lost son of Adam's ruined race. That is this. Constitute him a son of God. This, remember, we saw this several weeks ago, is the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit that puts a believer into the family of God. Now look at verse number 7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. How is all of this possible? Watch now. How's all this possible? This is all possible because of Jesus Christ. This is all possible because of our Savior. We've been looking at investing. We've looked at the things we have to invest. We look at how we do that by faith. We looked at how to overcome that fear. And now I want to preach a message entitled, Your New Life Starts Now. Your new life starts now. Let's go to our Savior in prayer. Father, I ask, Lord, in just the time that we have, that you lead and guide and direct. Father, thank you so much for who you are. I get so excited coming to passages like this because, Savior, we get to dig in and just truly look at who you are, what you've done, but, Lord, how we get to enjoy you each and every day. So, Father, speak to us. There's a lot of young people in here tonight. Help them to see how they have so much to live for. And, Father, I'm thankful for an older generation in here tonight that, Father, has stayed true and faithful and stood for the Word of God. Father, what an incredible, healthy church spirit we have. Thank you, Father, for Lori, who's here tonight. Father, just gave her life to you. We're thankful for those who are just getting saved and baptized. And Lord, I could go on and on just praising your name in this prayer. But Father, meet with us now. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In our passage of Scripture, Paul begins to explain to the church how Christ has freed you and I from the law. That means this, that comprehend the dispensational age that you and I live in now. You and I are living in this day where we are no longer servants to the Old Testament law. When a person gets saved, they assume the position of sonship in Christ. We have entered into a relationship of a father to his children. That means when a person gets saved, you and I, we know who we are. Well, how do we know who we are? Well, you and I have an inner witness. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That means this, that the Holy Spirit assures you and I. Somebody says, well, to be honest with you, Pastor, no one can know for sure that they are saved. A person can pray a prayer and a person can go to church and a person might even have a relationship with God, but no one can know for sure that they are saved. And I would say this, you don't find that attitude or that foundation in the Word of God. Why? You and I absolutely for sure can know that we are saved and on our way to heaven. That means this, if you're saved tonight, say amen. Well, how do you know? Well, you and I know because we have an inner witness. We have the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us. Therefore, we know who we are. And because we know who we know what we are. We are the sons of God by the new birth. Therefore, we take on the characteristics of our Father, our Abba Father, our Savior. The Bible puts it like this in John chapter 1 and verse number 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The Bible says this, for as many are led of the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. When you and I receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, just as Laura did in my office just this past Wednesday, as I watched and listened as Carrie brought her through the propitiation of sins and our redemption and through even as you and I would call it the Romans Road, we got to the end, comprehend this, that Laura began to understand who she is now, but also who she can be in Christ. And when you and I then give our life to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, believing on the death and the burial and the resurrection and repenting of our sin and asking him to save us, you and I then are adopted into the family of God. That means this, watch very carefully. The desires then of our life completely change. When somebody gets saved, you and I have to comprehend that now we have an Abba Father. We have a Savior. That means that the more we are around our Savior, the more you and I are going to be like him. If that makes sense, would you say amen? the more obviously we're in our prayer life, and the more that you and I communicate with Him, the more we are, Brother Fisker, in our Bible, the more you and I are going to be like our Savior. Well, I don't feel like I'm growing very much, and I don't feel like I'm like so-and-so and their walk with God. Well, let me ask you, are you in church? Well, you know, I try to be when I can't be. Well, are you in your Bible? Well, no, it's kind of boring. I don't really like it. Will you talk to God? Well, I mean, I pray for my food. Okay, and that's pretty simple. Do you have a relationship with Him or not? And if you and I have a relationship, then okay, let's just get down to the nitty-gritty. Sunday night crowd, here we go. You ready for this? The ultimate goal is to be like Jesus. Does anybody hear that tonight? The ultimate goal is to be like our Savior. It's not to be like so-and-so. Here's what religion does. Religion takes somebody, and we like this somebody, so we're going to put them up on a pedestal. And that's okay. I have heroes of the faith myself. I happen to love my dad. He was the best man in my wedding, and my dad is one of my best friends. He is my confidant. He is an encourager. I'm very close with my father. Now watch very carefully. I can take my physical dad, and if I'm not careful, I can put him up on a pedestal. Now, is it okay to have a hero like my dad? Absolutely. Do I love my dad? Without a doubt. Is my dad perfect? He's not. The problem with religion is oftentimes we take a pastor, and oh, they built a great ministry. Oh, they're so good. But they've done this. And all of a sudden, we'll put them on a pedestal. Is that bad? No. Do we learn a lot? Absolutely. But let's put it this way. There is no perfect pastor. There is no perfect hero of the faith. The only perfect human being that has ever been on this earth was named Jesus Christ. Therefore, the ultimate goal is, if He said, be holy as I am holy. The ultimate goal, cross point, is to be like our Savior. When you and I, when we have that attitude, it changes everything. Because all of a sudden, we take self and we put it to the side. The ultimate goal is not to be Thomas Shepherd. The ultimate goal is not to be Brother Harvey. The ultimate goal is not to be Jeff Jones or Brother Titus or Brother Fitzgerald or Brother Matthew. No, no. I comprehend that. Susan, can we take after people? Yes. Do we love? Can we look at a marriage? And I talk about Bob and Wilma often. And Carrie and I look at their marriage. And man, well, we want to be that if God tarries. We want to be married. We want to be happy. And I think you're happy, Bob. And we want to be. We want to. Oh, Wilma. Well, oh, man. Wilma's speaking out. I have done it now. I have done it now. Man, I'm here to tell you. Watch out. Here comes Wilma. You and I. Do we have people we love? Yes, we love them. But hold on. Stop. The ultimate goal is Jesus. If we're walking in here three times a week and we're not walking out more, being more like our Savior, friend, we're a country club. We're hanging out. We're playing religion. Is it fun? Yeah, we'll get together, sing some songs, shake some hands, take some offering, pretend like we're a church. Excuse me, friend. I don't want to pretend like we're a church. We are the church. We are the church of the living God. We are alive, my friend, my brother, my sister. Comprehend, the ultimate goal is to be like Him. That means this. Every time this Bible is open, you and I ought to come before Him soaking up. How can I have this new life? How can I step out by faith? How can I overcome my fear? How can I stop this sin problem? Whatever it is in our life, the ultimate goal is Jesus. So we're like our Savior. Because we are sons, watch very carefully, we are no more servants. Though we do serve, our motivation to serve our Heavenly Father is both one of love and debt. We love Him because He first loved us and gave Himself for us. That means this. When we look at this passage of Scripture, we are no longer under the law. We're no longer servants. Now, we are a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're part of that family. Do we serve? Absolutely we serve. Our deacons, I praise the Lord for them. Then today at 4:45, we had a meeting right up until church. Why do the deacons, why do you do that? Why do you serve? Well, I'm working my way to heaven. No. Why did our pianist play tonight? Allie, incredible job. Hughes family up here. A brother named Crony leading the music. It's just a great, great song service. But why do we do it? Well, they have to serve. Why do they have to? Nobody's getting paid up here tonight. Allie didn't get a check. Good job. Allie's like, well, I'll take a check. But Allie didn't get a check for playing the piano. The Hughes family, we didn't sell tickets to hear the Hughes family tonight. Why do we serve? We're not serving to work for our salvation. We're serving because of our salvation. We serve Him because we love our Savior. We want to get involved. We want to invest. This is our new life. This is the life now that you and I have in our Savior. So with this new life, there are some blessings that come. I want us to look at, and I'm not going to have a whole lot of time tonight, but I just want us to kind of concentrate on one thought this evening, and this is the blessings. First of all, there is the blessings of coming to God anytime you and I want. You see, a servant must be called before he approaches. But as a child, we can go to him anytime. In our passage of scripture, in verse number 6, it says, "And because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." It is the word that rises to the lips of a small child. And in the old world equivalent to our English language, this Abba Father would be like the word dad or daddy. The amazing fact is that you and I, we too can now use the same two words to express our relationship with God that Jesus used to express His own relationship with God. Moreover, understand, the Holy Spirit teaches us to do so. This is so magnificent that you and I have to comprehend the blessing is this. We are no longer under the law. We're no longer under that Old Testament law. But no. We have the blessings of going to our God in prayer. We don't want to go back to the old ways. Comprehend. Whoever would want to go back to a dead legalistic system of do's and don'ts? Who would want to go back to the endless rules and rituals and regulations as means of trying to please God when instead of an empty religion, you and I can have an amazing relationship with Him? Comprehend. We can now go to our Savior. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the help of time in need." Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 18. "For through Him both we have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Jeremiah 33:3. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things," watch now, "which thou knowest not." As now a child of the King, this is our new life in Him. This is the life, now whoa, hold on, that you and I get to live right now. Here's the difference. The difference is religion keeps upon you. Religion is do this, do that, live this way. If you can't, then you're not a good dad, you're not a good mom, you're not a good husband, you're not a good Christian. And all of a sudden, religion just starts coming in, and it comes in further and further. Religion, let's just get down to the nitty-gritty, Sunday night crowd. There are those of you who have been saved, but you grew up a Catholic. I know Brother Ted, is that correct? Brother Ted, it was Brother John Habing. Brother Habing, where are you at? You grew up a Catholic, is that correct? Very devout Catholic. Laura has been to the Catholic Church many, many times, grew up Catholic, who just got saved this past Wednesday. Comprehend this. What religion does is it puts upon you the burden. And does it take off? Well, you know, they go say your Hail Marys, go give to the poor, do this, and your sins be forgiven you. Comprehend this, no one can forgive you of your sins outside of Jesus Christ. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Nobody else. So I go, well, Pastor, I've done this, and boy, I've just been involved in this. And okay, if you want to tell me, great, but to be honest with you, what am I supposed to do with it? Well, I'm looking for forgiveness. I can't give it. Then what are we doing here? Well, what we're doing here is we're learning about the one who can give it. Amen. Jesus can give that forgiveness. Religion heaps upon. And again, we're talking to a Sunday night crowd. Even as independent fundamental Baptists, we can be guilty of that ourselves. do this, have this standard, have this preference, do this a certain way. If you don't do this, then we guilt somebody into. Let's just be, let's put it honest. I'm not the Holy Spirit. My job is not to force anyone to do something that the Holy Spirit's job is going to work in their life. Well, I want you to bring my teenager home and I want you to tell them to dress a certain way and do a certain thing and don't watch this and do this. Hold on. I can preach about a thrice holy God, but after that, the Holy Spirit has to get in and convict and encourage that individual to make major changes in their life. Did this make sense? Would you say amen tonight? To be honest with you, no pastor would want to be a pastor if that was our job. I told you before, early on in ministry, Dr. Lester Gill laughed at this. Early on in ministry, I felt like it was kind of my job. Like, I didn't know. I grew up in an independent Baptist church. Man, I'm looking out my window. Carrie, you remember my window there in West Virginia? Looked out over the parking lot. I'd get done with Sunday school. I'd walk in. That's a true story. I hate to say it. Jose, I'm so embarrassed to say this, but this is the truth. I would look out, Brother Titus, and I would see church members coming in, Pastor Dan, and they were not in Sunday school. And I'm telling you, I'd get in the flesh. What do you mean they're not in Sunday school? Those guys talk to me about being a deacon. See if you're ever a deacon. Can't even get your family in Sunday school. Somebody else. I bet they don't even tithe. I mean, I would get so in the flesh. I'm changing my message today. Three reasons why you should be in Sunday school. let's just let them have it. No, hold on. That's not my job. My job is to preach what thus saith the Lord. Some may come at it and some may approach it and some may this. The Holy Spirit has to do a work in our life. You know, one of those blessings is being able to talk to our Savior. You say, Pastor, okay, is this on prayer? Because I pray. Okay, I think we're good at praying, but I'm not so sure we're good at communicating. Communicating is talking. If Carrie and I had six lines and our whole relationship as husband and wife is on those six lines to each other, that's not a very good relationship. In fact, our marriage is not going to last. But do we talk to Him? You see, throughout the Word of God, when there were those that actually talked to God, there were some great things that began to take place. If you go back to the Old Testament and you begin to dig into the Word and you begin to look at those who would go to God in prayer, friend, it will open up this whole new view of what God can do. Moses cried out to God and God spared Israel judgment. Have you ever really thought about that Joshua's prayer made the sun stand still? Do you? I read that and look, I know this is a Sunday night, so let me just put it this way. I almost feel foolish in my prayer life. Like, oh God, I have the sniffles. Can you just please help me with this cold? Dude, Joshua's going in the sun standstill. That's our God. Solomon answered, asked for wisdom and got his answer to prayer. Hannah's prayer was answered with a baby boy. Fire came down from heaven when Elijah prayed and devoured the sacrifice there on Mount Carmel. Elijah had great power upon his life, but Elisha prayed for a double portion of the Spirit, and God gave it to him. Jabez prayed for God to bless him, enlarge his coast, and for God's hand to be with him and to keep him from evil, and God granted his request. Think about the New Testament of the 10 lepers praying and instantaneously healed. Peter prayed, and Dorcas arose from the dead. The early church prayed, and the whole place was shaken where they were gathered together. Peter got out of jail, and by an answer to prayer from the early Christians' prayers, the door of the Philippian jail fell off when Paul and Silas prayed. I am asking us this evening, do we know how to pray? Do we talk to Him? No, hold on. Here's what it's easy to do. Yeah, I talk to God. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to cut out Pastor right now, and I'm just going to think of the travel we have to do this next week. And hey, I got homework, and how many papers should I have got to grade? Hold on. Do we talk to Him? The Bible says in John chapter 14, "And whatsoever you ask in my name will I do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." John 15:7. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you." Matthew 7:7. "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." Matthew 21:22. We read, "All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer believing, ye shall receive." James 5:16. "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." James 4:2. We are told, "Ye have not because ye ask not." Comprehend this tonight, friend. We can come in and we can do our little Bible study. We can head out. But I'm here to tell you, if you and I could get a hold that we are able to go boldly before the God who created the universe in 6 physical days, friend, if we could get a hold of that God loves you and I, that He still exists. He was alive yesterday, He's alive today, and He exists and will be alive forevermore. He conquered death. He lives in our hearts and our lives. If we as a church could fully begin to comprehend prayer, it would change the Indianapolis area. It would change us. But I'm not actually so sure we want to hear it. If we have heard through how many generations of the Defoes, Pastor Arrowwood, and now the Shepherd family, if we have been through that much preaching and have heard prayer, why don't we do it? I'm here to ask us, when is the last time we as a church, begin to really pray for lost souls? I'm afraid the generation that we live in, this is not a knock. You know my heart. You know I love you, family. But I am compelled tonight to speak a little truth, and I'm just going to speak it. I'm afraid in the generation we live in, we are more concerned with getting first place for the Carlson and everything that you read off a list tonight than we are lost souls in our area. We are more concerned with March Madness coming up than we are our neighbors who are going to die and go to hell. We are at times more concerned about gas that's astronomical, meat that is going just crazy. Buy a box of cereal nowadays, feed 5 kids. We are more concerned with our wallets and our pocketbooks than we are sending out more missionaries around the globe. Pastor, why are you browbeating us? I'm not. I'm trying to wake us up tonight, friend, that although we can have fun and we can get in competitions, and I love soccer just as much as anybody else, and I love basketball just as much as anybody else, and baseball and football, bring it on, I love it. But let me tell you something, in compared to eternity, who really cares? Where's the Sunday school teachers that weep over kids? Where's the parents that weep over their children? Where's the grandparents that cry out to God over their grandkids? Where's the teenager that'll hit the altar and not be concerned about what other people are thinking of them when they come down and kneel and begin to talk to God? I'm talking about dads. Where are the dads in this room that no matter what's going on, we're going to put time aside each and every day, and we're not going to go through our little Baptist bread. We're not going to get on our little app and check off our little box and our little list. I'm talking about men of God that will step up to the plate and get a hold of the throne of God and begin to beg to be used, and begin to beg that God will use a generation of 70 young kids at Cross Point Baptist Church, that they would hold the banner high, and that they would continue to march forward, and that they would accomplish great things, just as the Defoe families and those forefathers who have gone on before us. Where are the women of this church that will get down and begin to weep for those who are coming up behind them, or those in front of them, or pray as Hannah did for great faith? And where are the people in the churches nowadays, and we're just not going to get our little time in, and we're not just going to kind of go through? And I'm talking about, where is the church that in 2022 will stop everything and come boldly before God's throne? Because until we do, we're playing. No, we're playing. Brian, I've said it so many times. I don't want to play. Denny, I don't want to play. Rita, I don't want to just come in and, man, look what we're doing. Laura got saved. We got people in the baptism. We're growing. Man, we're going to have to talk about putting more chairs in the overflow. And we're looking at extending this and that. Look, that's good and that's great. But how's our prayer life? Now, when I ask you tonight, I didn't say, how's your Facebook life? Everybody else knows what's going on. Does God know what's going on in our hearts and in our lives? We're good at telling everybody else, but are we talking to Him? Teenager, I want to talk to you for just for a moment. I know I haven't got through even half this message, and some of you are out of panic right now, but don't get in panic mode. But let me tell you something, teenager. If you're saved, talk to your Savior. He wants to talk to you. Dads, husbands, look up here for just a moment. We got to talk to God. We got to talk to Him. Am I for voting? Absolutely. Am I for getting out the news of what delegate's good, which one's bad, what's politicians this? Sure, I'll talk politics all day long. But I'm just going to be honest. It's why I don't give political speeches here at church. You know why? Because politics is not going to change Indianapolis. The gospel is. Talk corona? Sure, let's talk corona. Praise God, it's going away. I hope in another 5 months we don't ever hear that word ever, ever again. Anybody with me tonight? Like, wouldn't that be awesome? Corona, what's that? Yeah, I have no idea. I think it's a cuss word of some sort. Okay, let's not talk about it. I mean, great. Let's just get down to the nitty-gritty. We spend a lot of time talking about stuff that, compared to eternity, stop. Let's get back talking to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. The wording here is this, Abba, Father, endearment, we're saved, we're adopted into the family of God. We have our Savior. But church family, are we talking to Him? Pastor Dan, I'm just going to say it tonight. We've planned a canvassing, and we're going to go out. I mean, Lord willing, does it rain 2 weeks in a row, but we haven't done this post-COVID, not even once. We haven't knocked any doors. We're still being seen people saved, and the gospel is, you know, the way that we give it out, it's a little bit different here in the Indianapolis area. The culture has changed. People don't want us on their doors. But you know what? We're going to take a step of faith, and let's go out. But to be honest with you, Pastor Dave, how much time have we spent praying about that day? Revival's coming up. Is revival just something we put on the calendar, or is revival really time that we want to revive our hearts? If we approach it that it's just Pastor Blake, let's put on the calendar and we put it in July. And okay, who do we have this year? Good, Nicole, put it in, type it in. Great. To be honest with you, revival costs a lot of money. So if that's the way we're going to approach it, let's just stop. VBS, missions conference, is it just something on the calendar? Or is this something, church, that we're going to go before God and ask Him, God, in a couple weeks, revival's going to happen. God, I want it to happen first in my life. What if it's families for the day blow? You and I started tonight with our families first, and we got down with our wives, and we cried out, God, revival's coming, and my family needs it. What if, Brother Hildebrand, that was us first? The Dennis Fountain gets in this pulpit. Man, He just opens the Word, and we're primed and ready to go. Holy Spirit, speak to us. But you know what, Brother Burkett? It's got to start somewhere. It's got to start with prayer. The blessing of our new life is we get to go before our Savior. I said this probably about 6 months ago. It's so funny, Carrie. My office, for you have not been there, it's through here, and it's right around the corner here. If you've never seen my office, go in there at any time. It's usually open, and look around. It's a beautiful office, repainted. Man, Pastor Airwood versus Bert, he had some weird colors, man. Like, he had some weird, like, gold white. Looked like I was in a circus in there, so we repainted. It looks good. Bert's with me. He knows. Pastor Airwood, I even made fun of him at the coffee shop the other day. But nonetheless, go in there. But it's so funny, because when my door shut, man,
most people will not knock on it. They'll just come up, oh, the pastor's in there, he must be studying, must be praying. What a good man of God. And so they'll just kind of go. And then there'll be others that will come up and they're just, you know, I gotta talk to them. It's very, very important. I didn't get my parking spot. So they're gonna go and they're gonna knock very carefully and they'll kind of open, Pastor, are you in there? Hey, can we talk for just a minute? I'll be real fast. That's how most people. But let me tell you something. My five kids, they don't knock, they don't wait, they come barging in. How many of us have been in a meeting? We've been sitting there, here they come, and they get in there and they're like, sorry, Dad, and they go back out and they shut the door. You know what that is? Boldly. That's us. Well, God doesn't have time for me. No, he does. I don't know. There's so many people in Ukraine, there's people in Europe, there's so many other people. No, no. We're to go boldly before him. You know why? That's our Father. That's our Savior. That is our very best friend. But do we talk to him? Church, I'm going to ask us tonight during this invitation, maybe as families or as individuals, there is something about getting alone with God at an invitation and just talking to him. No, hold on. God, please give me and help us have a good week. And no, I'm not talking about just our rehearsed prayers. I'm talking about, God, I need you. God, so-and-so needs you. I don't know what to pray for. Pray for the Miller family. Pray for Tina Folsom. Pray for those in Ukraine. Pray for our church. Pray for Laura, who just got saved. Pray for whatever it is on your mind. Why don't we stop, Brother Titus, tonight, and let's just break it down. Why don't we just meet at an old-fashioned altar or sit or kneel right where you're at and let's comprehend the blessings of we get to talk to God tonight. Now, hold on. Let me say this. Everyone in your own mind, think of somebody through history you would love to talk to. A Bible character, a person in history. Now, hold on. I'm almost done. I've done very good on my time for all you ladies who are at your ladies' meeting. So let's just think about this. Carrie, one person that you would love to talk to in the flesh. Either.
My grandmother.
Good. Brother Titus.
My dad.
Your dad. Good. Brother Fitzgerald.
My
mother. Okay. A Bible character. Anybody through history. Dr. Lester. Paul. Good. Jeff Jones.
My grandfather.
Darlene. Aunt, good. Brother Burkett? John the Baptist, amen. Brother Fisher?
Noah.
Miss Fisher?
Abraham.
Amy? Hannah? Miss Judy? David, amen. So you think about it, and I could go all the way through this auditorium. If that person, famous person was right up here, John the Baptist, Paul, Abraham Lincoln, name anybody you want, famous president, dead or alive. For some of our teenagers, I would love to talk to this famous baseball player, basketball player, a grandma, a grandpa. How long, Billy Guider, would we wait in line to talk to them? And yet the King of Kings, God Himself, wants to communicate with us. And we can talk to Him at any moment. And yet we ignore him. Why don't tonight we stop for a moment and just talk to the King of Kings? He loves you and he wants to talk to you.